Hello, welcome to Tay to Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about The Last Time from Red, Taylor's version.
Last time I'm asking you. And today, we're discussing the song The Lucky One from Red, Taylor's version. Two Red songs in a row, huh, Gab?
Two Red songs in a row.
Wow.
That's fun.
The Lucky One is the 13th track on Red, Taylor's version.
Red was originally released on October 22nd, 2012, and Taylor's version was released on November 12th, 2021. Mm. This song was solely written by Taylor.
Mm-hmm. The Lucky One has been played live by Taylor 88 times.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the majority of these were played on her Red tour in 2013 and 2014. She played it once as a surprise song on the Reputation World Tour. Fascinating. And she most recently played it in Arlington, Texas on the Eras Tour on April 2nd, 2023 as one of the acoustic songs.
Yes.
It was a good one to be at the beginning of the Eras Tour, I think, because, like, this song is so kind of, like, where she's at.
Mm, yeah, totally.
You know? And, like, the Eras Tour for her, like, she is the lucky one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though, like, this song is kind of, like, a little bit of both of the lucky one not being lucky and being lucky at the same time.
Yeah.
She's so lucky, she's a star.
Yes. That is all discussed later, for sure.
Mm.
Devin?
Yes.
What do you think about The Lucky One?
All right. So, first off, right off the bat, I think that Lucky is the better song.
Yeah, but no one asked you that.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there.
Like, you can feel that way, but that doesn't necessarily have a bearing on this song. They can also both stand in their own right.
Definitely. Definitely. But if I had to choose between The Lucky One and Lucky by Britney Spears, I would choose Lucky.
Gotcha.
But The Lucky One is still very good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is like a mid-range song for me in terms of ratings, rankings, that sort of thing. I like listening to it, but it definitely isn't in my upper tier or tiers of Taylor songs.
Mm-hmm.
Upper echelons, if you will. Mm. I love the story it tells. It's very vivid. It is absolutely something that a lot of people in that industry face, especially young women. As they get older, same with young actresses. It seems like it happens a lot more to women than it does to men.
Mm-hmm.
This feeling of being replaced by the newest, hottest starlet who's come to town sort of thing. I think that it's a precursor to Nothing New, or that Nothing New and Lucky One are kind of sister songs and that they're in the same world. They deal with the same ideas.
Yeah.
The production of the song is super simple, but I do love the rhythm of it. That sort of thing. Taylor's vocals on here are just super sweet. She's in this nice part of her range that's very floaty, and it sounds very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the star of the song, if you will, is the lyric and the story. Telling this story, like I just said, about this new starlet who comes to town, this new hot thing who eventually gets, you know, replaces and is replaced by another new hot young star.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like this constant, like, cycle, this churning out of, and, you know, it's not great, but it kind of is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor does a really incredible job here of portraying both sides of that, of the, you know, the journey of the star getting there to town and, oh my God, you're the lucky one, how lucky it is that you get to be here, and then gradually being phased out, and then ultimately deciding that this isn't the place for her and that she's going to go and do something else and get the heck out of here. It's a great little, I'd say, vignette and parable. The crux of the song, the keystone, if you will, is in the final verse when she says, "'Cause now my name is up in lights, but I think you got it right."
Yeah.
After she has just sung a verse about the starlet leaving the business and that she is the lucky one for getting out.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really interesting because, like, everyone wants to be your friend in the business. Everyone wants you know, if you're really cool, you know, all the casting people want to get you in their movies. All the directors want to work with you. But then all of a sudden, your old news. Mm. And sometimes it doesn't take too long. And it's really wild now thinking that Taylor had these feelings.
Yeah, in 2012 earlier.
During the Red Era when, like, and this was the Nothing New era, too, when she wrote Nothing New. Mm-hmm. So it's like she was having all these feelings of feeling like, oh, my God, am I old news?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to be phased out?
On her and fourth album. Yeah.
Flash forward to Torture Poets Department just releasing and her being a self-made billionaire.
Yeah.
And her being basically at the top of the world.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she's ever going to fade. I don't think, unless she wants to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Her choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
for sure.
I honestly don't foresee anyone getting as big as her ever again. Like, maybe, but like, I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cause she's still got so much room to grow.
Maybe one day.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I also feel like Taylor of that era, facing all these fears, could not fully foresee mm-hmm. what this Taylor, what would come.
Yeah.
I think eventually she started being able to dot the I's and kind of draw her map.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think at this time when she had all these worries and fears and she'd never expected
mm-hmm.
how she'd even get bigger and yeah. bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was only 1989. Her next album after Red, where she absolutely exploded
yeah.
into stardom,
yeah.
you know, but it's like, how wild must it have been to re-record this song
mm-hmm.
and be like, wow, I had these feelings about myself. I wonder if she still does.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if she still feels this way a little bit inside, you know?
I think that she has a lot of different nuanced feelings about fame, and we mm-hmm. see it on pretty much all her albums. And I kind of talk about that a little in Gas and mm-hmm. Cab. Yeah.
Cool. I'm really happy that we have Nothing New as well to show like another side to this feeling mm. of hers. And I understand though why it wasn't on the original album mm-hmm. since they kind of, you know, talked about like sort of the same issues, but Nothing New is just so brilliant and so reserved. And it's kind of like this, like the future of this song in like the timeline of like what, like it could even be from the point of view of the starlet. Who's left town, you know, when you're nothing new, right?
Fair.
Like,
it's also, I feel like the more vulnerable, dark side to this song,
yeah.
even more so than yeah. this one goes into.
Ultimately, I think a very important song for this album
mm-hmm.
and a really interesting look into where her head was at during this time.
For sure.
Because, you know, she was dealing with all of the relationship stuff with Jake, but like also dealing with this personal, really deep-seated fear of being, you know, the old thing.
Yeah.
Of being
and not that relevant anymore. Would be fleeting. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, really fascinating. Really nice song. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Gab, what about you?
I really love the backbeat to this song so much. The da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, like Gab has written here the boo boo boo.
Well, no, it's like ba ba ba.
Oh, ba ba
ba ba. Ba.
Okay,
that's the sound of the drums. Mm, yes. Obviously,
yes.
It's hard to write out sound effects. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But it automatically has you bopping to it.
Mm,
like it's
yes.
very catchy. It definitely feels like the vibe of an early '80s song.
Mm.
For me, it's kind of like that song "My Boyfriend's Back." Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
It feels like she said it. And made it sound like what she's talking about,
yeah.
you know? I really love how Taylor's voice sounds throughout the song. There's just this very pleasing quality to the way she enunciates the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, really nice. I also just love anytime an artist examines their fame, especially young artists recognizing, like, the fleeting nature of it. You
yeah.
see that a lot. I find it really, really interesting and fascinating. And especially when it's an artist that you're a huge fan of, where you're like, I'm here for the long haul. Like, I'm in it. Like, you're going to be okay, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't know. And the pressures, I'm sure, are huge.
Yeah.
So I find that really interesting. And as I said before, it's a topic Taylor's explored throughout her whole career, which I think is also really fascinating that it keeps coming up because she stays famous,
right.
you know, and honestly just gets more and more and more famous.
Certainly seems that way.
And then, of course, I love how this song is like, you know, about someone else and then does that classic country Taylor twist at the
mm-hmm.
end where it's also about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that. I find it just to be like a really like tight, fantastic song. It tells a very clear to follow story.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. And I enjoy it. And also just the way that so many of the lyrics, she's singing about someone else, but she's also singing about herself at the same time.
Yeah.
Like even the everybody loves pretty, everybody loves cool. Mm-hmm. Like that's so revealing of a lyric. Like yeah. you learn it early and you're like, okay, I guess this is what I've got to be. But then Taylor built her career on kind of being not cool.
Yeah.
And then also like the whole overnight you look like a 60s queen, which I'm going to talk about in Gossip Gab a little who I think the song is about. But it's also interesting in terms of Taylor and the way that she would morph for each album and each era yeah. and how she'd have an entirely yeah. different look.
Persona, yeah.
And then during this Red era, she kind of had that like 50s, early 60s vibe, like the Twiggy-esque makeup kind of look.
Yep.
And that like she's examining that of stars of the past, but then also sees her doing it. And she talked about in the Miss Americana documentary, constantly reinventing herself for each album, feeling like she had to do that.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that she's exploring all those different ideas and seeing it in other stars and then also seeing it in herself, like, her brain is just always working in a million ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, like, always see her in a different era. It's wild.
Yeah.
Reinventing herself. Always there's the through line of her singing and her singer-songwriter
yeah
bass
exactly
which is really cool
yeah and the personal nature of her music even when it's not necessarily personal
right
yeah Devin do you relate to The Lucky One
sort of in a kind of like roundabout way
okay
so I grew up in a small town and I ended up going to college for musical theater in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lot of the people in my small town, mm-hmm. I was the lucky one who, like, got out and went and did something trying to pursue theater, right?
Mm.
So it's a little bit, like, Dorothea-esque, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like, feeling like that. But the interesting thing was is that, like, at first I felt like the lucky one.
Yeah.
And then gradually, as I started getting older, and especially when I got my equity card, and I was no longer being seen for, like, you know, non-equity choruses and stuff, I stopped getting jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And to then see all these younger guys coming in who were non-ec and dancing circles around me and everything, and that they were, like, the new hot thing,
mm-hmm.
that, like, I couldn't do that, both because, like, I literally couldn't because I was equity, and then I also couldn't do it because, like, I couldn't dance like that,
mm-hmm,
and all these huge dance shows were happening. So, like, I kind of felt a little bit of that, of seeing that there's always going to be new blood coming in.
Yeah.
And so either you have to be at the top of your game and you have to continuously reinvent yourself to stay relevant, which is what Taylor has done, or you disappear. And the new people that come in take the jobs.
Well, there's also a different, like, where you just kind of grow into, like, who you are. And those
yeah, but
are
that the... might that might take years.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess that's a little bit of reinvention anyway, of if you get older and, you know, you take time to grow and stuff, and then you come back, you are a new person than you were when you started.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be the dancer boy or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe you do, like, character roles or whatever. It's fascinating
to
think of that.
And yeah.
that, yeah, there's always, and I guess it could really be attributed to any industry, that there's always going to be up-and-coming new young people who could potentially be the new hot, cool thing there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thing, I feel like, in, like, technology, right? And, like, people who, like, have always lived with the internet have always lived with certain apps where things come easier to them than older generations. So that's a big thing. I don't know about, like, every industry. Like, there's still a lot of industries, I feel like, where experience is
key. Yeah, for sure.
But I think there are a lot also, though, where, like, youth is prized. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a little bit.
Yeah.
Relatable. Gab, what about you? Do you relate?
I, like, can't really relate to this song. You know, fame isn't something I've ever sought out, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I do understand the intense pressures and scrutiny that come with fame, and that dreaming of escaping one day could be this, like, romantic ideal. Like, I fully understand that concept.
Yeah.
And, like, all you had to do is see Taylor on LBI last year, was it? Or 2 years ago now?
Oh, my God.
And, like, to feel like, oh, my God, she can't do anything. She can't even attend her best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And just to feel badly about, like, wow, she's so famous. Like, that's awesome, but it also comes with a lot of caveats.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty, like, especially as a Taylor Swift fan, you can understand why there'd be like these times where she kind of wishes she could escape or she could just live her life not scrutinized. And like, I totally understand that. Yeah, no, the only time I could relate, we were kind of talking about this just yesterday, actually, was like, you know, when we were both laid off early in the pandemic, we like we're joking, but we were like, oh, let's just move to Italy and be goat farmers.
Yeah.
I don't know where even it came from, but just this, like, there's always this romantic ideal to like escape your life in some way. I don't think it's something that I would ever actually like or do, but I understand that desire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
In this song, Taylor tells a Hollywood cautionary tale about a star who ditches celebrity for a simpler life. Many fans have speculated that this song is at least partly about Joni Mitchell.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
No. Mm.
Who for a long time had retired from her performing and recording career, making only rare public appearances for charity. Until 2022, she had gone 23 years without performing as a headliner, but as many know, she recently performed on the Grammys and also announced two headline shows at the Hollywood Bowl this October.
Yeah.
But before that, she was really out of the limelight for a long time. In The Lucky One, Taylor sings of a starlet having a made-up name. Mitchell's real name is Roberta Joan Anderson.
Mm.
And looking like a 60s queen, her debut album was released in 1968.
Right.
Also, the lyric, how you took the money and your dignity and got the hell out, is very similar to the Joni Mitchell lyric from River, I'm going to make a lot of money, then I'm going to quit this crazy scene.
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell also has a song, an album called For the Roses, that explores these similar themes. She told the LA Times about that album, that was my first farewell to show business. I was in Canada, where I have a sanctuary where I still go sometimes, and I had decided to quit show business and get away from all the pressures I felt. So that feels like a pretty good theory. Also, there's this kind of like loose idea that part of the inspiration for Red was Joni Mitchell's album Blue.
Yeah.
So that seems like a pretty possible theory.
Interesting, yeah.
Another theory is that this song is about Kim Wilde, a UK pop star best known for the song Kids in America. Mm-hmm. The main hook melody of The Lucky One is apparently sampled from Wilde's four-letter word.
Mm.
And if you listen to that song, you can kind of hear like a little bit of elements that like kind of sound similar or inspiration. Some theorize that the lyric chose the Rose Garden over Madison Square possibly references how Wilde branched out her career to become a landscape gardener.
Hmm.
However, she didn't really disappear from her recording career at the time that Taylor would have been writing this song. So I think that's like a less likely theory.
Okay.
I think that her song, like the sample from her song, was an inspiration, but I don't think it's necessarily about her.
Sure.
Even though it is pretty funny that she had a gardening career.
Yeah, good for her.
A further theory is that it's about country singer Bobby Gentry, who released 7 albums in a brief period of intense fame from 1967 to 1971.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's a lot of albums in a very short amount of time.
Wow.
She retired from the studio in 1971 and from touring in 1981.
Mm.
She also has a made-up name, with her birth name being Roberta Lee Streeter, and she definitely looked like a 60s queen, like the epitome, if you Google her. She has been called a trailblazing queen of country and was one of the first female American artists to write and produce her own music. Mm. So I think Taylor would definitely know who she was.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, so it could be an elements of all of them, one of them not. I think that the Joni Mitchell is kind of like, seems like the most like clear line, but the Bobby Gentry thing is very interesting because she did really disappear. Mm-hmm. Like, she's still alive. And a lot of us don't really know her music, but she was, like, intensely popular for a few years in the 60s and 70s.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So after reading about her, I'm like, I'm going to listen to her music. Yeah. This is really interesting. The song is also autobiographically about Taylor examining her own fame through song, as many artists tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, this song reminds me of Britney Spears' song Lucky, which is one of my favorite songs of all time,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure had an influence on Taylor.
Had to.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Because it's the word lucky.
I mean, like, it's just...
It's a great song.
It's the exact same story.
It's not the exact same story, but it's the same idea because they experience similar
experiences. Of course. Experiences. That's sort of what fame does to you.
And yeah, especially when you're a young teen. Like, they both got famous as teen girls.
Yes.
Very different times, though. Yeah.
I think our next podcast might have to be a Britney Spears podcast.
I'm sure that those exist. True. But yes, I am a very, very, very big Britney fan. No.
It's going to be Maisie Peters.
We love Maisie.
Yeah.
Maisie forever.
Maisie forever.
That's true.
Maisie five ever.
Maisie five ever. We kind of met Maisie.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way.
We took a picture with her.
We did take a picture with her. It's pretty cool.
That was a really cool day. Anyway, we digress.
As Devin talked about, the lyric, "All the young things line up to take your place," explores very similar ideas to Nothing New. Other Taylor songs over the years that examine fame are I Know Places, The Lakes, Castles Crumbling, Dorothea, Midnight Rain, and then lots of different themes throughout Reputation. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all of her albums.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm sure I missed some there, but the only one I couldn't think of one is Lover.
Mm.
So, like, she explores this idea constantly.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. This is her life, and she's so famous.
Yeah.
The original hidden message in the liner notes of Red was, "Wouldn't you like to know?"
Mm.
Which I guess that means who this song is about. Like, wouldn't you like to know who this song is about? As well as maybe, like, wouldn't you like to know what it's like to be famous?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's kind of both.
Mm.
But I read that liner note and I was like, that's annoying.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I would. I'm doing Gossip Gab, Taylor, and I'm doing a lot of research. I would like to know.
Yes, please.
But that kind of line also makes me feel like maybe it's more likely Bobby Gentry, because she was someone who I'd, like, never heard about.
Mm.
And she, like, was pretty big and important, but I just had not heard of her. So,
I don't know.
It's a funny hidden message. This song was produced by Jeff Basker, who also worked on Holy Ground on Red, as well as with Fun on their hit album Some Nights.
Mm.
And for those who don't know, Jack was in Fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't, you know, of an age where you're listening to music on your own in, like, I think it was like 2012, you should go back and listen to Some Nights. That's a great album.
It's great.
It was really, huge, really good. I feel like, when we were in college.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Those songs are catchy. Oh, also, if you're a Jack fan.
Yeah.
It's another one of his projects.
It's phenomenal.
Producer Jeff Basker also, interestingly, worked on a ton of early Kanye West records.
Huh.
Yes. He produced Harry Styles' debut album, and he's worked on some mega hits, like co-writing and producing Uptown Funk.
Wow.
So he's a pretty prolific producer.
Wow.
He's won 4 Grammys for songs he's worked on, as well as winning Producer of the Year in 2016.
Very cool.
So he's done a lot. Basker told American Songwriter magazine how he brought the song to life. He said, "That's the ultimate thing, to put on the production hat and realize their visions, framing what they have in an interesting way or contemporary sense. Taylor brought in 2 songs that she had completely written and played them for me perfectly on the guitar. She asked me for my thoughts, and I said they were amazing. Once we tracked her vocals and guitar, we added the musical elements I would usually add and gave it a different flavor than she would have if recorded in Nashville, with a bunch of Nashville musicians.
Hmm.
I was really impressed when she brought that. That track falls into a little bit more of Springsteen, Joni Mitchell vein, which I think shows a lot of maturity and what a good songwriter she is. The lyrics are kind of about her. It has a story. And at the end, I think she's talking about Joni Mitchell rejecting fame, even though she never mentions her.
Mm.
She was on tour in a hotel room feeling a little too famous when she wrote that.
Mm.
To be able to express your feelings through music, that's what it's all about."
Whoa.
So he seems to think it's the Joni Mitchell theory as well. And he produced the song, so that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool that he also was our guy for Holy Ground.
Like, yeah, he did our guy.
Great job. I like his production.
Love Holy Ground.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Mm.
Devin,
uh-huh.
What is your favorite line from The Lucky One?
Ooh, okay. So there's a lot of good ones, but mm-hmm. I like, "And they tell you that you're lucky, but you're so confused because you don't feel pretty. You just feel used."
That's such a good one.
Oh,
that's a really good
God.
One.
Like, what? So, so good. It's like that point where they're like, they're still being like, "Oh no, like, you're great. Like, you're so good. Like, oh my God, you're so great. Oh my God." Yeah. But, like, secretly they're like bringing somebody else in for the other project or whatever. It's like that point in the movie.
Yeah. But, or it's also like, yeah, you're so famous, but it's like people are using you and your fame and your, like, shine to their advantage, mm-hmm. for them to get a leg up. Maybe they're not mm-hmm. your genuine friends or things like that.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're right. Like, that's another part of fame is that people want to use you for the things that you're famous for.
And she has some friends over the years that she's not friends with anymore that might have just been, you know, clout chasers.
For really good 4th of July parties and...
Yeah.
Great line. Love it. Gab, what's yours?
That is a great line.
Thanks.
I like, they say you bought a bunch of land somewhere, chose the Rose Garden over Madison Square, and it took some time, but I understand it now. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's really the way she sings that line. It took some time, but I understand it now. I just think it's a very, like, vulnerable line and that she understands, like, this person disappeared. I didn't feel that way. Like, I was so happy about fame, but now I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, as she got bigger and as, like, you know, her life is just, like, completely open to interpretation. This was the years where, like, she couldn't even, like, be standing next to a guy with them being like, oh, she's dating her.
Yeah.
I mean, he's dating her. And also, like, being like, oh, watch out. Taylor Swift's going to write a song about you and, like, all of that.
Oh, she's a man eater.
Yeah. And she was just, like, a 22-year-old trying to date.
And, yeah, just, like. Like figure a normal
22-year-old. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I just like that. It took some time, but I understand it now. Mm. And then, like, I also love, though, your lover in the foyer doesn't even know you.
Yeah.
It's just so, like, theatrical and kind of, like, can envision, like, I don't know, it's kind of like Sunset Boulevard or something. Like, just, like, old Hollywood, and they're, like, they're dating, but they don't actually get deep or know each other.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Dev. From 1 to 10, Rose Gardens over Madison Square.
Ooh.
What do you give the lucky one?
I really hope that Peter's doodle is literally like a rose garden and then over Madison Square Garden. Like in the doodle, like it's above.
I don't think it is. I feel like I've seen that doodle.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, he already did it.
I can't remember fully, though.
You did great, Peter. I love the doodle.
Do you know when I first heard this song, like in 2012, I thought it was like, there was a rose garden over Madison Square. And I was like, wow, where is it? Mm-hmm. I pictured like some like hermit tending their roses, but like looking out at Madison Square Garden.
The hermit of Madison Square Garden.
So funny.
So good. So let's see. I think I'm going to give the lucky one 5 rose gardens over Madison Square.
That's pretty low. But you did say it was middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You did say that.
Yeah, I do. I think it is. I think it's a sweet song. I think it's a middle of the pack. I'm glad that she wrote it because it definitely gives us a lot of insight into how she was feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, not one of my faves.
Yeah.
And the production, I think, is what makes it a little bit lower on the list for me because, like, it's not, like, that, like, crazy of a production.
Yeah, simple, yeah.
But the lyrics are, like, really, really great. So that's why I think it's kind of just, like, right there in the middle, like, a nice 5. Mm. Borderline 6.
Gotcha.
High 5. Mm. Gab, from 1 to 10 Rose Gardens over Madison Square, what do you give the lucky one?
I'm going to give the lucky one 7 Rose Gardens over Madison Square.
Nice.
I definitely like this song a bit more than you. I think it's because Red, as a overall album, just has, like, such a special place in my heart. Like, this album, when it first came out, was, like, so important to me.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't relate to this song, there's just something so nostalgic and soothing about it. And
sure.
This whole album, really, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think 7's a good, solid ranking for it.
Nice.
Yeah. Listen along with us. Check us out on Instagram at TayaZ Podcast and give us all your thoughts.
All of them.
What is your favorite song about an artist examining fame? Oh. Obviously, we didn't talk a lot about other artists, but there are plenty of them.
Oh, yeah.
So Seriously. Do share with us. Mm-hmm. Were you old enough to remember when Lucky by Britney Spears came out? Sorry, that's not about Taylor. What Taylor songs did we miss about her examining fame?
Oh,
what's a song from Lover that has like a little bit more clear?
Were you at the Eras Tour show when she played this?
Yes. At one of the Red concerts.
Oh.
That was a fun performance. Ooh. I didn't love the costume. It was like little shorts with a long skirt kind of thing.
Hmm.
But she had these fun red gloves and they kind of sang like a 60s girl group. It was cute.
Cute. And thank you as always to all of our listeners. You are the absolute, absolute best. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, next episode we'll be covering, The Man from Lover.
Ooh.
It's been a second since Lover.
Yes, it has been a second. I guess that kind of talks about fame, but it's like if she was a man versus like what it's like to be a woman fame. So I guess that kind of counts.
There it is.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay-Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.